This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome, and thank you for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. My name is Zach Brittle. I'm here with Laura Heck. Just a little bit of housekeeping before we get started. Housekeeping? House cleaning. Housekeeping. A little bit of housekeeping before we get started. One is, I know I start every single episode by saying, welcome and thank you. And this episode comes out right before Thanksgiving. We're talking a lot about gratitude. And I just want to say that I really am grateful for you, that you take the time to listen to what Laura and I have to say. We love coming on here, talking to each other, talking to you, talking about things that are on your mind, things that are on our mind. It's a real privilege and it's not lost on me. So thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting our sponsors. That's a big deal. And I just want you to know that I appreciate you and hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. The second thing I want to say is we have a bunch of really cool interviews coming up and I want to make sure that we address stuff that you want to hear about. So a couple of our interviews are going to be very specifically around the issue of sex and intimacy and how that works. And I want to hear your questions. I want to know what's on your mind. If you have any question at all about sex, how it works, sex or intimacy, any of it, shoot me a note on the Instagram or shoot us a note at info@marriagetherapyradio.com. Imagine that you got to ask your question of everyone from a sex researcher to a veteran of the adult film industry and maybe somebody in between. No question is off limits. Send it your way and we may ask it on the podcast for you. Last thing is, I wanted to give you an update on fantasy football. Hey, it turns out if you want to be good at fantasy football, you have to actually play fantasy football. That goes for you, Michigan Pizza Kids. Also, I want to give a big shout out to Corey and Steph, who had a big win this week over the Michigan Pizza Kids. They actually would have beaten everybody in the league, coming on strong here toward the end of the season. So congratulations. This has been really fun. Thank you for playing with us. Thank you for listening once again. Hope you have a very happy Thanksgiving. This is a very cool conversation. Stick around. Good morning.
Guten Morgen.
How are you feeling?
Good. I got all the sleep last night.
Why?
Well, because the time change is now
Works in your favor.
It does work in my favor. And yeah, so my kiddo, we were reading in bed last night and he looked at me and he goes, I think this is a good stopping point. And I was like, do I point out the fact that it's 7:20 at night or do I just let him turn the lights off and go to bed? And I did point it out. I was like, really? I just kind of got into my book. And he said, I'm just feeling kind of tired. And like he rolled over, started twitching 2 minutes later. It's like, wow, okay, well, what do I do with the next hour of my life? Because I go to bed at 8:30 now. Right on. Anyway, so I got a lot of sleep and I'm feeling really good.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I totally forgot it was daylight savings. I woke up and I was like, where's the football? And
what? Is that the thought that most men have in the morning is where's the football?
I don't know. I mean, I'm just up before my family and like, I just watched like the pregames. Yeah. So I watched the pregames and stuff and then I was like, nothing was on. And I was like, this is so weird. And I had to ask somebody, well, I had to ask my computer.
The computer, what is happening
right now? Up in the right-hand corner. It was like, oh.
Well, you said, where's the football? And on Sunday, it's kind of silly, but it was so appreciative. My girlfriend said, hey, can we just kind of start a gratitude practice? I was like, yes, let's do it.
That's so cool.
Isn't that neat?
That's what I want to talk about today.
Gratitude?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so weird. I had no idea. So I told her I was really, really grateful. This is the place where I get to tell you about my half marathon, but I'm trying to make it seem like it's my gratitude practice.
Yeah.
But I really was grateful because Sunday morning, it was the time zone change. And I woke my family up at 5 a.m. and we loaded into the Sprinter van and we drove 2.5 hours over the pass in the snow to go run a race. So yeah. I ran the Silver Falls half marathon. It was had been raining, pouring down rain for like the previous 3 days. It snowed during the race and it was just one of the most, I'll send you pictures
or if you, I think you sent me a little video. Yeah.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was so, so like technical because
I'm like, how'd you do? Did you get your time? It was in under 2 hours and you're like, no, I'm running through mud.
Yeah. It was bonkers. Okay. Let me tell you how bonkers the race was because it was, I did the half marathon, but there was also a full marathon and a 50K. And my swim coach ran the Swift 50K and she came in first in her age group and so, or maybe even out of the women. And I was like, well, what was her time? And I went back and I actually looked at all of the times and you kind of have in your mind, like what a good marathon pace is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So the person who came in first finished the marathon at like a 10:20 pace, 10:20. So okay. That's like pretty dang slow.
It's very slow for a street marathon, but very good for like this mud thing. Okay.
Yes. Right. Well, even for trail courses, that's slow.
Yeah.
But it just like the conditions were bonker balls. And,
I just don't want any like couch potato weekend warriors out there being like, well, I could win that marathon because totally. it's not it like was, through the sunny streets of Boston. It's like,
yeah, it was like gotcha. a mudder, gotcha. Not intended. The second and third person, I think the third person, had I run the marathon at my pace, I would have come in, I think like second. That's nice. How slow the marathoners were.
Okay.
Because I was pretty dang slow. Yeah. So anyway, it was a
and
really
the part
cool.
that you're grateful for is what now?
The part that I'm grateful for is that my family woke up at 5 a.m.
Oh, gotcha.
Drove there. And
everybody supported your dream.
They supported my dream. But we spent 7.5 hours in the car just so I could go run for 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Cool.
It was silly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because coming back over the pass, we were in stop and go traffic, mostly stop, to the point where we were parked on the highway because of the snow and the conditions.
Oh, gross. I hate that so much.
Okay. I'm over telling you about my marathon.
I did the exact opposite. I spent the entire weekend on the couch because I had my surgery.
Hold on. Can I see your belly button?
No.
Please.
I'll send you a picture or something. It's really gross right now.
Right. What is it when, spoiler alert, this is going to be gross, but you know, when people get like little, like their inner lining of their anus comes out when they, like when they strain too hard
or have babies. Yeah.
Come on. It's like they describe it as like cauliflower butt.
Yep. I don't know that is.
When you sent me the second picture, your post surgery, I was like,
I didn't send you the third picture though.
Can I see it? Will you send it to me right now? Please.
I don't have my phone. I'll send it to you after. So everybody knows,
context.
I don't think you know this story, but I had an umbilical hernia, which means my intestines were coming out of my belly button just enough to be uncomfortable and unsightly. And I was at Laura's house and I was wrestling with Holden on the floor and we were like just doing all this stuff. And Laura was like, what is that? I didn't even know it was a thing, but she quickly diagnosed me. And that was, a couple, three years ago, but this summer we hit our out of pocket maximum on our health insurance. So yeah. I was like, I guess
elective
I'm going to go
surgeries.
Get it fixed now. So,
great.
But yeah, they just, they kind of tucked my intestines back in. They put a little patch on it. And and the first day I was like, oh, that was easy peasy. But then the second day it got all swollen and bruised and gross. And so you're welcome, podcast land, for that. I'm feeling much better and I'm feeling good about that. So thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know how to describe what it looked like when I saw this thing protruding from your abdomen. And I called it your abdomen, not your belly, just to be kind.
It was. one time I went through security at the airport. And did I tell you the story? I went through security at the airport. I got through everything because I'd emptied my pockets and done all this stuff. But my shirt was tight enough that the guy looked at my belly and he goes, what's that? I was like, what do you mean? He goes, what do you have in your shirt there, in your pants?
You're like,
I was
like, belly fat?
It's my body. It's like, what do you, it's just me. So I had to show him my belly button, which was, again, my hernia just kind of was right there.
But I don't know what I would call it, like your belly silver dollar. Like
it was big.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a mini chocolate chip cookie that was like kind of hanging out on the top.
Anyway,
of your
it's
stomach.
Not there anymore. And I can't wait for like maybe a few more days when it goes, like, it's just like, goes a little more normal.
Yeah. When your beach bod comes back.
Oh man.
Okay. We got to talk about something important now.
Well, I said I want to talk about spiritual intimacy. There's a specific reason this podcast will come out right before Thanksgiving. And so we're heading into the holidays. We're kind of doing all the things right now that make us feel connected and warm and fuzzy. I love seeing clients around Thanksgiving because I do point them to gratitude. I always say, hey, this is the perfect time to like reflect on things that are going well, or to count your blessings, or, and it's cheesy and kind of your go around the table, but it's important. We've talked about gratitude a lot on the podcast. And I think about that one study that I read that I promised to send to some lady who asked me, and then I never sent it to her. But it's the idea that people who have a regular gratitude practice, they're healthier. And people who are very specific about their gratitude are healthier than people who are less specific. And so there's something about that for me right now that just feels important. But the idea of spiritual intimacy came from a conversation I was having with some clients, and it just made me kind of think a little bit about how to point people in a direction. Gratitude's an easy one, but there are lots of other ones. So yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about today.
I've actually been a little, I'm going to take, like, you were sort of, you know, on the high level talking about this in an intelligent way, and I'm going to bring it down just for a second in that I had a little envy for a couple from Love is Blind. Have you seen this show, Love is Blind?
I have not.
Okay. So the premise is some of the women in the car are like, oh my gosh, yes, please, Laura, talk about Love is Blind. I can't even handle it. It's a reality show. And it's like one of those, you know, I will call it a trashy, empty reality show. But in some ways, it hooks you because these are humans that are kind of like trying to fall in love. But they can't see each other. That's why love is blind, right? It's two people. They're in these, they call them pods. They can't see each other. They're talking to one another and they're trying to build intimacy just through conversation. And I'm watching this couple where he's kind of on the fence, right? Like he's attracted to this other woman and what she has going on. And then all of a sudden the two of them discover that they have spiritual intimacy. Something happens where, and it's fine. Like they're supposed to be dating multiple people at the same time to try and figure out like, who am I attracted to? What's hooking me? Whatever it might be. And the moment I swear to you that this guy understands that this woman comes from a background of faith and they have this shared connection of spiritual intimacy, it was like their relationship launched.
Okay.
Everybody else fell down. Like it was kind of incredible to watch. And I think what happened was this woman said, you know, I've been thinking about you a lot. And she's dating, you know, 15 other guys at the same time, but this guy's standing out. And he said, really? And she said, yeah, you know, I actually prayed for you last night. And you could just see it was like game over. Boom. Like the shared value and the connection in that spiritual level really deepened whatever shallow connection they had before to a whole nother level. And at that moment I went, I think I'm actually kind of envious of this couple that they have a shared spiritual intimacy. That's something that definitely is not a connection, at least on the, I would say like religion, like a shared religion with my husband.
Yeah.
But I do want to be clear that when we talk about spiritual intimacy, we're not talking about religion.
Well, interestingly, what you observed is exactly the same thing I observed in my office, which was this couple talking about how much they envied this other couple that they sometimes spend time with. That other couple was religious. They have a deeply Catholic, shared Catholic background together. They, you know, that is a big part of their identity. But the couple that I was with was saying, yeah, we're not religious. We don't actually want to go to church. In fact, we kind of have a distaste for the church, but I really do envy what they have. I envy something about them.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought, what do they have? What do they have? Like, regardless of if it's the Catholic Church or if it's I prayed for you or if it's, you know, we both worship, you know, rocks or something. Like, what is it? Mm-hmm. What does it mean actually to have mm-hmm. a sense of this thing that you and my couple have decided that they envy? Right. What is it?
Yeah. You know,
do you have a sense of it?
Yeah. A little bit.
We messed around with it a little bit and I'm happy to do that here, but I wonder what you think.
Yeah, I do. I had that same experience with, I went on a girls trip, surprise, surprise, another little mini staycation.
Yeah.
And we were all going around and just talking and, you know, some of the women in the group are, you know, have faith and are religious and we were all kind of sharing our point of views. And my girlfriend said, you know, my husband and I, we just follow the golden rule. That is something that we deeply believe in. And so she started to share actually all of the things that she and her husband align on that are values. So what she was doing, she was saying, we don't have like a prescribed religion, but what we do have is a very clear direction in how we want to live our lives and what takes precedence and how we like place values. And that's where I was like, okay, that's what it is. It's a really
and they know
clear,
what it is.
Yes. And it's an agreement, right? Yeah. Like we have an agreement and we know what we're chasing in life, what holds value and space and time and energy. And it's something that they reinforce in one another. And it's something that they share on a very regular basis. Even when they wake up in the morning on a Sunday, they're not going to watch football. Actually, they do watch football as a family.
Yeah.
But they also are going to wake up early and go skiing as a family and it's family time. Well, so that's where I come down to.
Well, and it's, so again, we batted around a little bit, this couple and I, and let's do it here. But like, there are things that are true about spiritual intimacy. So for example, your couple that you're just describing there, the spiritual intimacy means that you always have access to it. Right. So you always have access to gratitude. You could wake up and it could be like the worst weather ever. And you had big plans for the day and your plans just got ruined, but you know what? I have a roof over my head and I'm here with you. And I have choices inside here. Like we always have access to gratitude or to adventure. Like you can, that's one thing. It's sort of the higher power notion. Huh. There's something bigger here than just my circumstance. I think it is a place that you can begin to lean into spiritual intimacy.
So maybe not something that you control, but something that,
I think something bigger than you.
Okay.
And some people will call it God and some people will call it Jesus Christ. And some people will call it, you know, Buddha or, but I think whatever you call it, it's something that says we are connected to that. Some people call it the universe, but there's just some sense of perspective that says we're not just subject to whatever we created right here in this space right here.
Would the golden rule fall into that?
What's the goal? How are they defining the golden rule? Treat others as you would treat yourself? Mm-hmm. I think so. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's something about kindness and generosity and compassion that is a part of that. Like we always have access to that.
Yeah. And it sort of makes me think like you don't pick and choose, right? Like when you play out the golden rule, like the golden rule is when you're on the subway, the golden rule is when you're having a crappy day. The golden rule is when you're sick and you're in bed. Like you don't get to treat other people like crap. Like it's one of those things where it's like you said, you always have access to it. It's not something that you pick and choose.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's on the list. I think there's something about feeling connected to others. The one we were talking a little bit about church and what church does for people. What church does for people is it says, hey, there's this time during the week. It happens to be Sunday morning that you can show up and you can be a part of a thing that is connected to other people and they're all pointing in the same direction. Like that's a thing that happens. If you don't go to church, like what is that thing? What is the thing that you do that you kind of find yourself bound to or connected to a larger sense of what it means to be alive and in community? That I think that's part of spiritual intimacy is that we connect to other things together, right? Some of the most painful conversations I have in my office are people who don't go to church together. Like she goes, but he doesn't. And that's a pain point for them. So there's something about the opposite of that, meaning we do this thing together.
Right.
That I think is part of spiritual intimacy. And if it's not church, what could it be? I mean, it could be a book club. It could be volunteering at the PTA. Mm-hmm. It could be adventure, you know, or a vacation club that you're a part of, or I don't know, but I was just thinking again, like, what is it, what brings you to a sense that we are bound together by something mm-hmm. bigger than us. That's probably the theme. Mm-hmm. There's something bigger than us, I think, has to be involved in spiritual intimacy.
Yeah. I'm deep in thought right now. I'm thinking about all the ways because I am not aligned. Like when I met my husband, I was deeply entrenched in going to church and having that as a community. He was not. And so I don't go, well, if I do go to church, it's mostly on my own. But I'm trying to think of like what brings us together that is bigger than the two of us.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, here's another thing maybe is okay. It's kind of the idea that we have a theme or we have a motto. I mean, the thing that binds you guys is we're three best friends. Not necessarily right. the two of you, but it's like,
yeah,
we are, this is what we are about. Mm-hmm. And there's clarity about that. Maybe it's back to the top of the list is that we can actually name and point to the thing that makes us different, that things that sets us apart. So that's a big part of it. I was thinking about this couple. One of the things that they noted about this couple that they envied is that they are not aligned at the level of their kind of intellectual capacity. Mm-hmm. So he's a very, very smart guy. Mm-hmm. And she's like, not. But when they talk about their career or their life, they both use we a lot.
Oh, yeah.
We are doing this thing or we mm-hmm. have this conference coming up, or we have this challenge, this parenting challenge that we're dealing with. So again, sort of this spiritual intimacy at the level that transcends maybe the label. The label is I'm successful or I'm smart and you're less successful or you're mm-hmm. less smart, or I'm athletic and you're not, or I'm churchy and you're not, or whatever. Yeah. So there's a we, and I think you guys do that really well.
How so?
Well, because you're three best friends. I mean, I think you end up being, you end up, you're both like sort of fiercely independent and clear about your own self, but like you always sort of rubber band back to, mm-hmm. to sort of we.
You know, I was just thinking about this as we are getting ready to, like if I was to think about spiritual intimacy in our household, in our family, it's 100% adventure.
Yeah.
And being together, like it's, we can be adventurous alone and independently, but that's not what we're chasing. What we're chasing is the experience of being adventurous together. And as we're getting ready for snow starting to fall, and we have 3-4 months plotted out of like, what is our winter adventure going to look like? And we started talking, we said, well, I know Holden has this race team that he's on. He's starting a ski race team. We're going to be at the mountain every single Saturday. And I said, you know what I really want to do? I want to learn how to skate ski. And I really want to take lessons. And it was a conversation. Skate skiing is, you know what classic skiing is? Like cross-country skiing where you go forward.
Yeah.
Skate skiing is like you're skating. So you're making more of like a V motion. Okay. And it's like, oh my gosh, amazing for the glutes. I'm going to have
buns. You need new equipment or you just, it's a different way that you move your feet?
New equipment. Yeah, the skis are smaller.
Like
they're
sport.
More.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's definitely a more difficult sport to pick up. So I wanted to take lessons so that I could figure out how to do it. But it was a conversation with my husband of this is going to take me out of the experience of the adventure that we are planning on together as a family of three best friends, where mm-hmm. this is the thing that I'm doing by myself on a Sunday for 2 hours. How do you feel about that? And I can see how. When you are fully clear on what brings you together, what that thing beyond yourself is, right? For us, it's adventure. When it bucks a system or it pushes against it, I can see how that is a conversation or tension that might occur in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because me skiing on my own, that goes against the value that we have as three best friends doing this thing together on the weekends.
Maybe. I mean, it's you still being, I mean, you're pursuing your own thing, but part of being, spiritually intimate or being aligned at something at the level bigger than me is that this, like what my partner needs is bigger than me too. Mm. You know, like in order for her to feel like she can show up as a friend, she needs to learn how to skate ski or maybe just eat a sandwich, or maybe he needs to take a nap or something that is contrary to the moment, but it's still in service of the bigger thing.
The bigger picture. That's okay. All right. That's totally true.
I'm keying in on what I want more than anything is for people who listen to this right before Thanksgiving is for them to to begin to seed their own conversation about what is spiritual intimacy. And the holidays invite that quite a bit for us. We talk a lot about kind of rituals and how important rituals are. And we're headed into the time where all of the rituals are like kind of lined up for us almost. I mean, it's just like, okay, Thursday, we're going to this house and we're eating this and we're doing that. And we're going to do the thing and the da-da. And then next is the, and then the next thing is, and then we get our tree on the Friday and we did, and then we do this. And, you know, and then everybody has obviously their different rituals based on their background or whatever, but put them under the microscope, put them under the microscope and understand a little bit of like, what is it that we're actually doing? Mm-hmm. Why are we doing it? And what does it say about us? What does it say about we? Mm-hmm. And I do think that gratitude is the beginning. If I think about what I want for my marriage and what I want for my family, it's that we are about and around understanding that there's always, we always have access to gratitude, because the world right now wants you to feel bereft and sad and scared and alone. And you don't have to. I mean, you got all kinds of reasons. You got all kinds of reasons that you could do that.
Yeah.
And that's not even to say that those things aren't real. But you don't have to feel that way. You can, you always, always, always have access to gratitude. And I think that that is, if it's not just a reality, then just think of it too as an opportunity to become healthier. Mm. Like, again, people who have a regular gratitude practice, they generate more stress reducing hormones than people who don't have a regular gratitude practice. And people who are specific about that gratitude, they generate more of those stress reducing hormones. So if you're interested in trying to feel more connected to your partner, to the world, to the universe, then that's where I think you ought to start.
And I'm going to tap into this because I'm a huge fan of not just listening to podcasts, but actually, like, how do I actually make that happen? Mm. What's the first step I need to do to take this information that I'm hearing and put it into place? And I would do the thing that my girlfriend did yesterday, which is she reached out to me and she said, Laura, I would really like to get in a space of gratitude. And I would like to have a daily practice where we just text each other. We use Marco Polo as an app where we talk at each other and we can watch the video at any point.
Yeah.
And she said, I would really like to just get in the habit of sending a gratitude to you. That is me verbalizing my appreciation for whatever in the world. It doesn't have to be about me. Obviously, it's not going to be about me, but it's having that accountability buddy. And if you have somebody in your life, like Zach in my life, or my girlfriend, my mom, whatever it might be, text them and just say, I'd really like to try this. Are you game? Are you interested?
100%. I got one of those yesterday too. Just, I spent Thursday night in a networking happy hour. Oh my God. It was the worst, in part because I don't like networking and I don't drink anymore. So it was just like, I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But
that sounds like absolute hell for the introvert over here.
I got to connect with a whole bunch of people and I got to say thank you, because it was a bunch of people who worked on a project for you and me. And then then over the weekend I got a bunch
of these are like, great people, by the way.
They're amazing. They are amazing. But I had surgery that afternoon.
Oh.
I was grouchy.
You were on painkillers.
I was on Oxy. And I'm just trying to work this room, which I want to be attentive. But anyway, I'm not sad I went. I just was like, man, this is not the right environment for me right now. But full of gratitude, room full of gratitude. And then, of course, you and I both got a bunch of notes this weekend that were just sort of, thank you for thanking you. That's the other thing. It doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. Thank you. No, thank you. No. Thank you. No, thank you. And I think ultimately, if you keep doing that, you don't have any choice but to go, you know what? Like, thank God, or thank the universe, or thank higher power. Because if you're just driving it up, it's ultimately, we have to go, you know, it is, this is actually pretty good. We got it pretty good.
I have a new idea.
Okay.
Are you ready? This just came to mind. You are somebody that sends out, every year you send out a Christmas card.
I do.
Or, you know, just like an annual card.
I send
out
a badass Christmas card every
year.
You
do. It's like pages. So you take the time and you type out front and back, you print it out, you stick it in. Usually there's not even a picture. Maybe there is.
There's a picture. Yeah. But it's not the picture you expect.
Exactly. So rather than spending your time, you know, trying to find the perfect family photo and then spending all that money, you know, printing it and then sending it to people, what if instead every day you just wrote a gratitude, just a handwritten little note of gratitude to the person you would normally send it to. So maybe you have a list of 50 people that you send these like pretty, you know, pictures that are very generic and non-personal. But instead you were like, you know what, today I'm just going to write my gratitude and it's going to be for this family. And you take a moment to bring that family into your life or whatever, into your mind, and think about what is it that I, why do I keep connecting with these people? Why do I have gratitude for them? Write it down, put it in an envelope, and just send them one by one every single day.
Sure.
This is just an idea that came to mind.
I love it. Or if you're listening to this podcast on Tuesday, or is the same. Or doesn't. Okay. Here's the thing.
Okay.
But diminishes the thing that came before it, or doesn't, or still equalizes those things, but also, and, or if you're listening to this podcast on Tuesday, before Thanksgiving, like just do Thanksgiving a little bit differently. When you go around the table and everybody says, hey, what are you thankful for? Decide what you really are. Like think of some, surprise us.
Hmm. Like take some time to cue it up. Like, okay.
Yeah. Or like really lean into it. I don't know. I just, again, this is what I want for my family. It's what I want for you. It's what I want for our people. And yeah, I think if it's in service of something that we could all call spiritual intimacy, then it's a win.
All right. Let's land this plane. This was interesting. I liked it.
All right.
Great. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I hope that you, something clicked. I hope that you had a little aha moment and that you're going to take this podcast and you're going to find some way to bring it into your daily life, whether it be with your partner, with your friendships, finding some kind of way to express gratitude to others, or even just think about what you're grateful for. Happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for all of your time and attention, making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.